to, go into a general rate case, we have to support that general rate case with both understanding our balance sheet and our P&L and income statement. So the balance sheet is what are the assets on the balance sheet, and that's technically what a utility earns on. It's a it's an agreed upon or a negotiated weighted average cost of capital and equity return, and that's what you earn on. As far as everything that really hits the P&L, whether it's your operating and maintenance, all your normal expenses, they look at them to make sure they're prudent and reasonable, and if they do, they quiz. There's months. It takes like the whole process. I don't know if it's a full year, but there's a long period once you start your general rate case all the way through, and there's a public service, there's interveners. You kind of walk through everything together to come up with what is the right thing to get recovery on. And so there's a million different components to get to that answer. But it's a long due diligence process with the commission, their staff, and interveners, whether those are companies, whether they're organizations. There's all sorts of opportunities for anybody that's interested to get involved and understand the costs incurred.
So my next question to that would be, is there a cap rate on what that can go up or down?
What it can go up or down. So I don't believe there is, but reality is it's a return. So our costs are dollar for dollar. We don't earn on our costs. So there's no earnings on that piece. When you talk about the rates going up, they're going to go up for, if inflation goes up and our costs are going up, we're going to go into another rate case and ask for, to get those costs back, right? And so that, whatever those increases are, if the economy's going up and interest rates are going up and everything's going up, those costs are going to increase. And we're just asking for recovery of the costs that we incurred. And a lot of our rate cases are historical. And so we're not projecting something in the future. It's looking at 12/31, December 31st, 2022, saying these are the actual costs you incurred, and that's what they're basing it on. In some jurisdictions, we are allowed to look, do a future test period and look at 9 months from now, but they do checks along the way, too, during that process. But everything is fully vetted.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just have a question.
Sure.
I'm a little confused. So when you do your rates, are they just for this local area, or are they across the state?
It's across the state.
Okay.
Yeah. The rates are established by the Missouri Public
Utility Commission. Is this an annual process, or is this just when you feel it prudent that you need to have a rate increase that you go in front of the commission?
It is not annual. Okay. It is when the company or
there's
we feel that
gotcha.
That's right. But property taxes, as I indicated, are slightly different. And so Missouri enacted a statute in September, I think, of 2022 that indicated, let's just say we're earning $1 million in our rate case and our costs are $1.1 million. That $100,000 for this year sits up on the balance sheet and waits to charge the customers in the future. If we don't file a rate case for 10 more years, and that grows to 1.2, 1.31, and it keeps going up, that incremental amount over $1 million sits on the balance sheet, and we will get recovery of it in the future from the ratepayers. And that's not our doing. That's by statute. That's Missouri statute enacted that. But same issue, though. If nothing happened and the rates were going down, because say your net book value was continuing to decrease and you had no additions and that money went down, that savings would also go back to the customers.
So you don't have to go in front of the commission to do that.
You do. It sits in a what they call a tracker. It sits out there until your next general rate case. So when you do file your next general rate case, you have to substantiate that amount. You're going to have to show them copies of all the invoices, all the assessments that we get. We'll go through it, and they're going to scrutinize them.
Okay.
So you have to prove every dollar we spend, we pretty much have to prove.
Okay. Well, and I would just add that the converse is true. So if taxes are less than anticipated as far as when the rate was set, that sits on the tracker as well.
Yep.
So if taxes go down for whatever reason, then that money goes into the next rate case, and that's impacts the rate. So in theory, customers are paying less to make up for that reduced tax amount. Which is really, it took the legislature, I do some work up in Jefferson City too, it took the legislature too long to do that, because that's the right approach. So basically it's, what was happening is you were having this regulatory lag time where there would be a big assessment that went up, and the company's rate case didn't anticipate that, and the company would just eat it. And so it was fixed. And then the converse is true. If the taxes go down, then the company would get all that and it wouldn't go back to the ratepayers, which wasn't very fair either. And so now it's set up in a way that it's a dollar for dollar pass through, regardless of when it happens. It just can take, you know, a couple of years until the next rate case for it to be realized, but that's how it works.
Yeah, and every utility is different. And so when he says certain things are going up and certain things are going down, there's some utilities that have outdated equipment or different things, and so what there's a concept called obsolescence or something where basically it could be going down. And so I think the legislator was trying to make sure they covered both sides of that, to your point. So, okay.
Mike, I was going to ask you, 139 parcels, is that, do you have like that many in every county in Missouri, or what's...
Amy is in the weeds in the detail here. She'll be able to answer that one better than me.
Yeah, we have quite a few parcels here in Taney. Joplin is where our main headquarters is, and so we have quite a few parcels there. But like Webster County, I just had a call with them the other day, and we have maybe two or three parcels in that county. So yeah. It varies.
Is it have to do with the dam, or what's the uniqueness here?
Jeff, I think Jeff can answer.
Jeff can talk about that. Okay. Yes, that's the main reason for the whole bulk of it, because you look on Beacon, and if you just type in Empire District, you'll see the whole list. Some of these parcels that are included here, they're at the bottom of the lake, mm-hmm. and they're just a parcel that'll butt up against the Corps of Engineers land because they own the channel. That's navigable waterways. So that is the majority, except for, about four or five substation properties. Of course, we've got our Hollister Service Center and the office downtown. But everything else, the main part of this is mainly to do with the lake and a special relationship of what FERC does to limit us and what we're actually able to do with it.
Your question may be like, why all these parcels? Right?
Yes.
Jeff can speak to it better than I can, but it all goes back 100 years. Whenever the dam was created, the federal government regulates that creation of electricity. It is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, for short. It's a separate, the heavy hand of the federal government regulates all that. And when that project was created 100 years ago, FERC established project boundaries as part of the FERC project that's governed by FERC. And the Empire's predecessor owned those lands in that project boundary. And that's a major impact on the value of these parcels, because FERC restricts, through these federal regulations and orders, Empire's ability to use that property. What it can be used for, it's dictated it has to be used for public recreational use. It restricts the ability of FERC to sell any of it. There are certain restrictions that 5 acres or more, so there's a bunch of restrictions on that property. So imagine having your house that you own. What makes it marketable, what gives it value, is your ability to sell it on the open market, to have many people come and buy your house. That same concept is restricted if the federal government restricts or zones your property commercial, for example, or zones it a certain way. It limits your ability to do things with that property. Think of that. That's what we want you to be thinking about when you think about, okay, what would someone pay for this parcel of land that's in the middle of the lake? Well, if that person bought it, what can they do with it? Nothing, because it's regulated by FERC. So that has a big impact on the value. And that's one of the things that I know the Diamonds have really looked into that. They've appraised property across the state. They work for government. They've done some work here in Branson. They work for taxpayers and for county assessors. So they do both sides of it, which is why we wanted to bring them in, to get a fair, open look at this thing. They're being paid not to come up with a value. They're being paid to give us an opinion about the value. And typically when I do these BOE hearings, I don't bring the appraiser. We wait till the state tax commission. We don't want to do that. We want to get this figured out now. We don't want to spend the next, because you get for the state tax commission, it takes years. I mean, it just takes forever up there. We're not interested in litigating this case. We want to get this resolved. That's why we're glad Ms. Chapman's here. We're hoping we can have a dialogue to get to the right answer. When you look at some of these parcels, and the Diamonds have provided a few examples, I think you'll come to the conclusion that something got messed up. Something's not right about this. And so that's what we want to impress upon the board here, that we're here as reluctant. We don't want to be here, right? We kind of have to be. But we got to do this because some of these values are just not supportable for all these reasons.
So I do have a quick question, because I believe you just said that all of these properties then can be used publicly. Is that correct? So they're not leased in any way to private parties?
Some are leased to the city of Branson for $1 a year.
But
They're
not leased to other people in the community?
We've got one, and they will speak to this. We do have one for pasture land. And there have been in the past leases for hunting on a couple of parcels. But that ties back into FERC and what our land use policy is. And the way that works is it's not open to the public because it's not a public access area. They're remote. They're in the same natural state they've been in since Ozark Power came through and built the dam. So it's really more for protection of that. It's strictly just an adjoining landowner if we do it. And we've done a couple of ingress and egress access points as well where people need to cross our land and get to it. So it's not, we are obligated, and we also have several of the actual public access points, which would be Branson Campground and those areas.
Well, let's do this. I appreciate the questions and everything, but let's get through them, because I'd like you, when you're presenting your part, I'd like you to do it all at once so that we can get a flavor instead of kind of piecemeal. Whoever's next.
I think we can, if there's a question about the FERC regulations specifically or any particular parcel, Jeff's your guy.
Is he not presenting anything then?
Well, I think he's just kind of done that. We wanted him to kind of tell you about FERC.
Right, I don't really have a presentation for you. I'm here more for literally the one who's been around the lake and knows those FERC regs and things, that if you have a question on what they're talking about, to show, like, take for instance the Branson Campground. That's labeled commercial and that, but yet that is on a lease with the city of Branson for $1 a year till 2055.
Okay.
We can't touch it. We don't do anything with it. The North Park is part of everything around this lake, and that's the majority of these parcels. He touched on it. We can't do anything with it unless it's a small parcel, 5 acres or less, and more than 75 feet away from the shoreline. Cooper Creek is part of our land, and that's on a long-term lease with the Missouri Department of Conservation for public access.
So, I'm going to assume that you're trying to make best use of your property as a company, but where are those regs, I guess, is what I'm asking. What is it that prohibits you? Is it contract, statute,
we operate under a license. That right now we're in relicensing, and it's like this thing. We're operating under the 92 license. What we operate under on the land side, section 204, and we can happily provide that for you. But it spells out what we can and cannot do to the property. Branson Landing, for example, that had to go all the way to Washington and get approved by the FERC commission to be able to go in, because that was part of project boundaries.
Well, obviously, yeah. I would be interested in seeing at least some. I mean, I don't need, I don't need the stack this thick, but I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking for.
We've got a copy of the. You can have this. You might want to put on, if you wear readers, it's old. But this is the FERC license. And this is one of a stack of things that you could read. But this will give you a flavor, if you can read it in the cipher, at what some of the restrictions on the use of the property are.
Okay. Now, are these restrictions on all the properties or just the ones surrounding the lake?
Within the project boundary. And that would be, I mean, we have a few extra parcels, like up on Boys Camp Road, north of Boys Camp Road, down to Rockaway Beach. There's a small parcel up there. It's a dollar lease with Rockaway Park or Rockaway Beach for public area. And the only reason those are there was over 100 years ago, when Ozark Power reps were coming through and purchasing property and flow easements for the dam. There were some people that just said, we won't give you a flow easement, but we'll give you the land and buy it out. And when FERC came through in 92, they asked for a project boundary. A lot of companies didn't really know what FERC, neither FERC nor the electric companies really knew. And so they just took everything they owned, and the boundary was drawn around, and that has stayed. And now that the boundary is set, all the restrictions that come with it apply to every one of those parcels.
So if I could just, and we're talking a lot about